you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Doran Dickerson here with you. Jason Mackey as well. Nicholas Harry Callis behind the glass. And joining us right now is our guy, Chris Carter at the Post-Gazette. Good morning, Chris. How was your wedding? And congratulations. Chris! You got us, Chris?
That's not good. Hold on, I'll get to him.
Okay. He showed up on the screen.
Yeah, he can't hear us, though, it seems.
Oh, he can't hear? Oh, that's great. Awesome. That's exactly how we wanted to start this segment, Callum. Great job.
Especially ask the poor guy about his wedding.
I know. We got him back yet?
Sounds like he's ghosting us about this.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know, TJ Watt gets signed or he gets extended and everything goes to hell.
Callis is back there in purgatory.
Yes, he is.
I'm still beating myself up over that. And I Googled it, too. He's right. Callis won.
We got him, Callis.
All right.
All right, Chris, you got us?
I got you.
All right. Good morning, Chris.
There he is.
How you doing? It's great to have you. Good. How was your wedding? And congratulations as well.
Thank you very much. It was amazing. I married the love of my life. We've been dating since I was our high school sweethearts. We're true Pittsburghers to the end, and it was a wonderful wedding. The people at the Sheraton in Station Square did an amazing job. Shout out Wonderlust Wedding Events and our wedding planner, Renee. They did an amazing job making sure we wanted for nothing and did not stress at all. And all of our vendors did a wonderful DJ Mikey B over at Loyalty. They all did a fantastic job. Us and our families had a fantastic weekend. So shout out to everyone to help make that happen.
That's awesome. That's awesome
good
to
stuff,
hear.
Man.
Yeah, man. Good stuff. Congratulations. Big news yesterday, as you know, TJ Watt signs a 3-year extension, 3 years, $123 million, $108 million guaranteed, $41 million a season, more than Myles Garrett. Your initial thoughts, Chris, whenever this news broke?
About time. I thought that this move was always going to happen. I know there was a lot of drama. Oh, should they trade him? Oh, should they not pay? They're paying the best defensive player in football, and that's who TJ Watt still is in my mind. And I know some people say, oh, well, he only had 11 and a half sacks last year. He's washed. He's done. He's cooked. Get him out of here. Who are the two biggest names at outside linebacker in like recent history, if you were to think of the two best outside linebackers in the last like 20 years? Who would you guys say?
For the Steelers or in the NFL?
Yeah, for the Steelers.
Yeah, James Harrison.
TJ Watt, James Harrison?
What? Yeah.
I'm good with that.
So before TJ, I would say James Harrison and Joey Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many seasons either of them had 11 and a half sacks or more? Each of them only have had in their careers one season where they had 11 and a half sacks and more. So TJ is so elite that his one down year when he has 11 and a half sacks is considered, oh, he's done. He's cooked. Get him out of here. When the two guys that define the outside linebacker position in my adulthood, Joey Porter for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Joey Porter, who was a big part of winning Super Bowl 40, James Harrison, who at that point I was like, hey, that's the best outside linebacker 3-4 edge rusher this team's ever seen. He dwarfs what they do statistically. And that's where I look at TJ Watt and I say, you still got to pay this man. And Doran, you were on it with the way you've been reacting to it. I get this. Some people say $41 million. That just seems like a lot of money. It is a lower percentage of the salary cap.
Yes.
$28.5 million per year that he got in his first extension back in 2021. This is not some obscene number. This is just what the current salary cap is today, because the salary cap has risen by almost $100 million since 4 years ago because of the 17th game they've tacked on and all the extra money the NFL is making.
I agree with you, Chris. I think Doran and I are both in agreement on this deal. I think one thing that's fair to look at it, though, and talk about T.J. Watt and say, I want to see more production overall from the Steelers defense. You know, not T.J. Watt individually. But, I mean, how do they get more than the 11.5 sacks? How do they improve the pass rush? I'm guessing some of that might have to do with moving T.J. Watt around a little bit.
A little bit is T.J. Watt moving around. But I think a lot of it is also getting better at stuffing the run, especially on early downs. The Steelers, and I talked about this a little bit on Locked On Steelers yesterday with our live stream, but the Steelers blitzed about 25.9% of the time last year. That's not a really low number, but it's low for what they had been known for under Keith Butler and Dick LeBeau's days. They kind of have been lessening on the blitz packages with Terrell Austin, and that's the thing I think they have to dial up. But to dial up the blitz packages, you need to force more third and longs, more third and eights, more third and nines, so that you can say, hey, we're going to get aggressive. We're going to send Patrick Queen from this side. We're going to send our slot corner from that side. We're going to send Peyton Wilson from this side. And so if teams are triple teaming T.J. Watt, which they often do, that they're going to end up paying for it because there's going to be a free and fast rusher coming at the quarterback. And when you keep doing that, eventually they're going to say, hey, we can't let free and fast guys get through. We're going to have to hope that someone wins with TJ one-on-one, or we don't put as much time and investing into it. And I think that's part of what the Jalen Ramsey trade does, because Jalen Ramsey, instead of Minkah Fitzpatrick, as good as Minkah Fitzpatrick was for the Steelers and as great as he was at limiting the deep ball, you look at what teams have been doing to the Pittsburgh Steelers to slow down T.J. Watt. They were hitting them with the quick passes. They're saying, hey, you know what? Their cornerback position is not their strength. We're going to hit them with so many quick passes to our receivers underneath that is going to make it so that his pass rush time is so limited, and we're going to keep double teaming him, triple teaming him, so that he can't get to the quarterback in time. But with Jalen Ramsey now and Darius Slay and Joey Porter Jr., now you have a trio of cornerbacks that you can say, hey, you know what? Go ahead and throw it quick to these guys. They're going to jam up your receivers. We're going to be more confident in this being a harder time for you, hoping that the quarterback holds on to the ball a little bit more. The quarterback holds on to the ball a little bit more. The pass rush has more time to get there. I think that that's part of the formula, but also that has to be with it. They have to stop the run. That's why I think they got Derek Harmon. I think that's why they got Y.A. Black. I think that's why they signed Dan Aquale. They want the interior with Cam Hayward to be more solidified, and they want the linebackers to be more free-flowing to stuff the run. If those things happen, I think the blitz will be dialed up more, and I think you'll see those numbers for T.J. Watt go up as well.
Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette and Locked On Steelers podcast. Chris, do you think that the Steelers did bad business by not getting out ahead of this contract situation initially? Do you think they should have got out ahead of Myles Garrett maybe potentially getting signed and signed TJ maybe in early March?
It would have helped, right? I think that if you're the Steelers, maybe you didn't see this as that much of a priority. It could have gotten the number lower. You would have been under what Myles Garrett signed. But there's also the chance that TJ's agent was like, "Nah, we see where the trends are going." Mm-hmm. And we're saying now, back then, I wasn't thinking in the ways of like, okay, I didn't see what the salary cap was set at, right? When I looked at what Myles Garrett signed, my first reaction was, that's a lot of money. And then I looked at their salary cap, and I was like, oh, wait, no, that's just basically the going rate for what edge rushers go when you think proportionally between how much percentage of a salary cap a player gets paid. That's what people need to look at, not raw numbers. Mm-hmm. And again, when you look at even the $41 million that TJ is making, that is a slightly smaller percentage than when he got paid $28.5 million 4 years ago. Same thing for Myles Garrett. His contract is around the same rate. So I think that that's the thing here, is that people need to understand that's the going rate. So the Steelers could have gotten out in front of it, and maybe it would have been 39, 40, but go look at Max Crosby's contract, right? The prices just go up because these agents, they know the money, they know how the salary cap works. I think the Steelers still would have paid TJ around the same, maybe just $2 million a year less or something like that. So I don't think it would have made a big deal, but maybe you could have just avoided adding the cherry on top that they did.
I like the length of contract, Chris. I like the fact that they didn't go 5 years. I thought it was pretty reasonable for both sides. Like, TJ's obviously getting paid. He's getting guaranteed money, what he deserves. But the Steelers aren't hamstringing themselves. They've given themselves flexibility on the back half of this deal. Curious what you think about that. And also, I mean, what else did the Steelers need to do this offseason? Safety, wide receiver, like, where? They're probably not done, I would imagine. Where does your head go?
So first, I agree. I thought that the length was perfect. I thought 3 years tacked on to his current year that's left on his contract. That's exactly what you wanted. The way I look at it is that, like, we're all presuming, right, that the Steelers are going to draft their quarterback of the future this year. And if they hit on it right, they're going to want to pay that guy big bucks down the line. By the time that guy's contract comes around, Cam Hayward and TJ Watt most likely have retired from the NFL. So they can spend right now on keeping the players that they find central to their organization, not just as far as player-wise, but as far as leadership-wise. And I kept telling people when they were like, oh, Chris, I don't know if this is going to happen. When I talked to Nick Herbig, when I talked to Alex Highsmith, when I talked to their position coach, Denzel Martin, all of them are like, TJ's coming, guys. Like, we're not sweating that he's not here right now. And also the notion that of him missing minicamp being this huge deal that destroys the team. I know that some people were really riled up about this. I think that this is pure speculation on my point, but when TJ Watt got to go be an uncle for the first time, if you could have seen the joy and the pictures and the times that he talked about it and how happy he was, he had a kid, his first kid in mid-March. I fully believe that part of the TJ was like, hey man, I'm okay skipping this stuff because I want to be a dad before I have to disappear for 6 months, you know, in the other formative like months of my newborn kid. So I think that might have played a role into it, as well as him not showing up and knowing that, hey, we're gonna get a deal done. I don't think that the sides were as far apart as some people made it out to be. I think TJ Watt wanted to be a dad. He knew he was getting his deal done. There were times Troy Polamalu didn't show up for things in the spring. He's and TJ Watt is that kind of a player. He's that good that you can be like, all right, show up in camp and we'll get to work. Now, to your point, Jason, about adding other people, yes, I do think they need to add a free safety. I really like Julian Blackman, the former Colts safety. He's about 27-ish years old, I believe. And I think he's a guy that can play on the back end and be solid. You know, won't be a game changer, but you're saying, hey, you're putting all your money up front in the cornerback position, so you're going to have to lighten up in the safety position. But I think he would be a good mix with what they have with Deshaun Elliott and Juan Thornhill. Wide receiver two is going to be tricky, though. I do think it's going to be interesting. You know, I'm not sure that the Niners are coming off Juwan Jennings so easily. You know, I'm not sure that, you know, other teams are just going to willingly give up their wide receivers, but Omar Khan's playing the game right now that you got to play. You got to be patient. You got to wait. You got to see who gets upset with their team in a couple weeks here or a month here when training camp's starting to wind down and they're realizing, hey, they are not paying me. You know what? I want to trade. I want to get out of here. And then you kind of see what deals you can get off of that. But don't jump at something just to jump at something, because the biggest thing here the Steelers realize is that the thing that they're saving up for is that quarterback move in 2026 in the draft. I think they're saving up for that, and they're saving up to be flexible to not only make that move but make other moves around it so that they can start to maximize that being their next real Super Bowl window.
Chris, you're the man. Thank you so much. Good stuff, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
There he goes. Chris Carter with the Post-Gazette. A lot of good stuff there from Chris. We'll react. And also, TJ Watt is now the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. Who's behind him? A lot of big names. And does it look like it's worth it? I know that Jason and I feel that it is, but some people don't.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album, or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers, or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Jason Mackey, Thorne Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Cowles behind the glass. Cowles, are you calmed down? Actually, how are you doing? I like to check in with you. How are you doing? Are you calmed down? Are you still on the stance of you don't like how this business has operated?
I've never been not calm about this. No, that's not true. I was a little bit loud before. No, I'm going to stay firm in my stance. I believe what I believe. I feel how I feel.
And I've interrupted your eating break there, haven't I?
Yeah, cereal. You know,
cereal. Dry cereal. What is it? Is it the same or is it different?
Sometimes I have the mixed berry cereal flavor, but no, it's another chocolate day today. Cocoa.
Nice. Mixed berry.
Cocoa Puffs?
No, it's just low sugar cereal that I'm on with a Wake of 180.
All right. Very nice.
It's very good.
Good.
Jason, we kind of knew and had an intuition that this was going to get done at some point.
Sure.
I feel like that there was, you know, there's thoughts that were put out there that maybe TJ Watt could be traded. Obviously, there's people who talked about that. And you got to think of all angles whenever there's a situation like this brewing with TJ Watt holding out. But I think that most of us knew that there was going to be a point where TJ Watt signed on the dotted line. Now that it is concrete, he has signed, and this roster is somewhat set. Now, we still can talk about, are they going to get another safety, another receiver? But with the way the roster is set now, with TJ Watt reporting to training camp, does that change your outlook at all on what they can do this season?
It doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, I expected TJ Watt to be a Steeler come week one. I didn't expect it to go down like this, Doran. I thought we'd have a storyline next week in Latrobe, whether he was there, whether he wasn't there, whether he was holding out, holding in. I expected this to kind of go down to the wire, but I did expect it to get done. So I still think this team is probably top end 11 wins. I think that it does have some flaws. I don't think the Steelers are a bad team. I don't think they're an elite team. I think there are areas that we can talk about that need to improve. I think they will improve. I think the defense will be better. Is this an offense that's going to be, you know, top five? No. I don't think I'm breaking any news there. But I do think there are some challenges when it comes to depth, bringing young players along, whatever. And again, I'm not presenting that as I think that everything is terrible. I just think that, you know, it's a roster in transition that is going to need its eventual quarterback, is going to need some eventual pieces. It's going to need guys to step up and grasp larger roles. You know, what happens to Calvin Austin III? What happens to Roman Wilson? Is Derek Harmon ready to contribute right away? Is Joey Porter Jr., you know, a star or just a guy? I don't know. How does Jalen Ramsey get used? I mean, there's a bunch of stuff underneath that umbrella, but I can't say that I look at the Steelers any way differently than I did 24 hours ago.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I kind of just knew that it was going to get done, but now, I can look at it a little bit differently because of, for one reason, for TJ's absence, I think that for a guy like Jack Sawyer, for a guy like Derek Harmon, even Nick Herbig, who was pictured working out with him, I think that they're going to benefit a little bit more.
I think TJ's arms, by the way.
I mean,
as you referenced that picture.
Yeah.
My man's been doing some upper body stuff this offseason.
Well, I mean, Mueller put it out yesterday. You know, how can a guy that hasn't been healthy the last two seasons, I'm paraphrasing, how can a guy that hasn't been somewhat healthy the last two seasons, you know, have productive seasons whenever he's in his, you know, low 30s? And I responded, he's going to change the way he trains. And just looking at that picture, I guarantee he changed the way he trained this year to try to protect. And you can't do the same things at 31 that you did at 22.
Right.
That's any athlete. Any athlete. I mean, I'm sure Sidney Crosby tries to train the same way that he did whenever he was 20. But I'm sure that there's things that he knows that he needs to do in order to stay at the level that he's at now that he's 38 years old. Like, it's just every top-tier athlete knows how to transform
yes.
into training that way.
Well, and I mean, okay, let's take this a little bit further, just beyond football. Like, does Paul Skeens not try to get better every year? Like, he's an elite pitcher. Look at him this year. He's throwing more pitches,
yep.
dialing it back a little bit, trying to pitch deeper into games. Sidney Crosby, every year of his career, has evolved. Ben Roethlisberger did the same. TJ Watt has done the same. Like, a lot of the bet that the Steelers made with TJ Watt is betting on his makeup, is betting on him to figure it out, to be a productive player. And yeah, I'm going to make that bet. I'm going to make that bet 100 times out of 100. And it goes back to the same thing that we've been saying about this deal. Do I want to make that bet in a stupid way?
Mm-hmm.
That I'm doing it for 5 years and I'm just like betting against Father Time? No, absolutely not. But am I going to bet on TJ Watt being a more productive player in 2025? Yes, I'm going to.
Yes.
I'll make that bet every time.
Right, right. Here's a list of the top non-paid quarterbacks, and TJ Watt is at the top of this list as we sit here today. I'm sure that list will change in the next 3 weeks with Micah Parsons and maybe even Trey Hendrickson needing contracts. But tell me where TJ Watt ranks on this list real quick as importance to their respective team. Okay, CeeDee Lamb, $34 million. Nick Bosa, $34 million. Justin Jefferson, $35 million. Max Crosby, $35.5 million. Danielle Hunter, $35.6 million, Myles Garrett, $40 million, Ja'Marr Chase, $40.25 million, and TJ Watt, $41 million. Where does he rank on that list as importance to the respective football team?
Thinking about it for a second. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is up there for me, but you also have T. Higgins. And you also have a flawed Bengals roster with an insufficient defense. You can maybe flip that and say T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, insufficient offense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look at the Browns as a team with legitimate aspirations to do anything. So if I remove him, whatever. Max Crosby's kind of in that same conversation for me. Justin Jefferson, there's some backfill there that he's not counted on to be the guy. I mean, I'm trying to not just deliver a homer take here, Doran, but I don't see how it's not T.J. Watt at the top of that list based on how much he can change the game if he's right, if he's healthy. I think we're kind of forgetting what the truly disruptive version of T.J. Watt can be. And if the Steelers get that, that solves a lot of their problems from this past season. I don't care if it costs $41 million mm-hmm. a year. People aren't going to be screaming about the price tag in September, October, November if he's taking the ball away, if he's coming up with a key sack in a key situation, if he's creating a turnover in the red zone, stuff like that. Like, that's what you're getting out of this. And yes, no offense to Alex Highsmith, he's not T.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure we can go through those names again. I'm pretty sure I'm putting T.J. Watt number one. What about you?
Yeah, one or two. I think Ja'Marr Chase is very significant to what the Bengals want to do. But T.J. Watt is right there. Just looking at the record, whenever he's not playing for the Steelers, whenever he is injured or he is out of the game, they only have one win whenever he doesn't start a Steeler game. So he's very significant to what they want to do on defense and how they want to operate. We're going to take a quick transition here. Noah Hiles has joined us a little bit early, so we're just going to run through. Noah, how you doing this morning? I know that you saw the T.J. Watt news, but you're here to talk some Pirates. But how you doing this morning?
I'm well, guys. How are you?
Pretty good.
Morning, buddy.
Pretty good.
Morning.
What's that hat?
I got the Minnesota Gophers.
Ah, all right.
I have a bit with these guys. Every time I come on, I try to wear a different hat.
Yeah.
Except for last week, you didn't wear a hat.
Last week, I did not wear a hat.
You did not. But you
I had to have my hair looking good for Carter's wedding.
That is true. You did say that. That is true. I'll give you that credit. You were at the All-Star events. You were at the Home Run Derby, the All-Star game. I want to get Mackie's thoughts on this, too. The swing-off. What is your take on the swing-off, the extra innings type of deal that happened in the All-Star game? What is your take on it?
Loved it. I mean, the All-Star game is not a real baseball game. It's an exhibition. It's an exhibition. It's a showcase of talent. And there's nothing more entertaining in baseball than meaningful home runs. And you set yourself up to have a whole bunch of them if the score is tied after nine innings in that game. I thought it was awesome. I thought the crowd loved it. My favorite takeaway was seeing how into it the players were and the coaches. While Kyle Schwarber was going off, looking at the other sideline and seeing, or the other dugout, I should say, and seeing the American League reacting to a guy who is kicking the snot out of them was just fun to watch. I'm 100% for it. For only the All-Star game, though. It should not be a way regular season games are determined.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree. I love the entertainment value for the All-Star game, just as long as it's not in an actual game, I'm good with it. Noah, let me ask you about O'Neal Cruz. Home Run Derby dominates, goes 5-13. I thought it was a really good experience from him. But what do you think he took away from that, and will that feed into his second half? Like, do you think O'Neal Cruz maybe saw a little bit of what he can be and can use it for good?
I think if he took away anything, it was O'Neal Cruz needed a little bit of a reason to smile. It hasn't been a fun last couple of months for him, and sometimes – I mean, I think this applies to any realm of life. Sometimes when you remind yourself, hey, you know what? I actually enjoy what I'm doing. It's been tough as of late, but I am good at this. I do like it, and I needed this reminder. Sometimes life gets a little easier after that. So maybe that's the big takeaway that can come from this for O'Neal Cruz, who's had, a really rough June, who's had not the best July so far. He got a lot of compliments. He got a lot of reasons to feel confident and to remind himself that, hey, you do some things in this game very well. And if you can just really lock in on those areas, you could still provide a lot of value to a baseball team.
Fantex Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. No, do you know if it was true or not that Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge left the All-Star game early and were on a flight home before the game ended?
Yeah, I mean, that's not just for them. I mean, Paul was gone by probably the fifth inning as well. That's when you're covering the game, and Jason can attest to this, after the second inning in the press box, there's a consistent stream of announcements.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt.
Speaking now in the hallway is National League starting third baseman Manny Machado. Paul Skeens will be available to speak to media in 10 minutes outside the hallway. Freddie Freeman, you know, like all of these guys typically leave early. And I understand why. The whole league gets a four-day break aside from them. And in some cases, they're doing more things than they would during, you know, a normal four-game series. They're playing less baseball, but they're doing more media. They're interacting with fans more. They're traveling more. Some of them fly out 30 to 40 family members, and there's a lot of energy that goes into that. So guys are ready to get the heck out of there after they're removed from the All-Star game. They're done, and I understand why.
Yeah, I mean, Max, you get Wednesday and Thursday. Like, the Pirates had a workout last night. I don't think Paul Skeens was there. I don't know that for a fact. But, right. I mean, you get a very small slip. And that's the one complicating factor with the swing-off. Like, you're going to have this, but you can only have it with guys that have been designated to participate, who are willing to do it. So you're not going to have Ohtani or Judge, guys who started and guys who are a big deal.
The only way you do get guys like that, Jason, I think, is if the All-Star game is located in a city where they play.
Right.
True. Like, if it's in L.A., and they already live in Los Angeles, Shohei might be around. Or if it's in New York, or next year, if it's in Philly and Harper were to start the game, he still might be around for the ninth inning where they can have him suit back up. Or, you know, I'm sure he wouldn't shower if he's going to stay around for the whole game or whatever. But you would have more availability there. But yeah, that's just the reality of the All-Star game. Guys aren't going to stay around for the full nine innings.
Noah, we thank you. Thanks for taking the time. Good seeing you this morning. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely, fellas. Good chat. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Noah. There he goes. Noah House, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Coming up next, Coldplay.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dickerson, Mackey, Cal is here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Coming up next, Mike Golic Jr. talking some college football, some TJ Watt. He joins the show. Jason, did you see the story that's making its way around the social medias and the internet?
See, you're going to have to be a little bit more specific than that, Thor.
Yeah, there's a couple stories that are going on right now, but this one kind of piqued a lot of people's attention. CEO of Astronomer, I guess it's like a tech company, caught on the Jumbotron having an affair with the head of HR at his company, the same company, Astronomer, the head of HR, while a newly promoted HR employee was there as well. Not a good look, and it was at a Coldplay concert. They were shown on the Jumbotron holding each other, and the CEO ducks and crawls out, and the HR, the head of HR, kind of turns her shoulders, and they didn't want to be seen. My thing is with this, I'm sure that we've all seen the story by now. This is all, I guess, alleged. I don't know if it's really come out that this is all true, but I'm pretty sure that it probably could be true. This is all at a Coldplay
concert. He put out a
I heard that was
statement.
Fake. I heard that was fake.
Oh, though. Really?
I heard it was fake. Okay. I don't know. My thing is that, you know, whether it's the HR employee that just got promoted, them being in on it, them knowing that there's a, you know, this affair going on, that's one thing, and the affair, and I guess allegedly the wife of the CEO changed her name on Facebook. Her last name is not the same, Byron. Jeez. And now it's back to her maiden name. There's all kinds of stuff going on about this. But my thing about this whole situation is that the camera crew that panned the audience and found these two and kept the camera on those two, knowing that probably there was a situation brewing by the reaction. The camera crew needs a giant raise. They need a giant raise because this, in my opinion, is going to shoot Coldplay through the roof for the first time since like 1998. Now, I know Coldplay has put out some, you know, songs since 1998 and 1997. I think that that's whenever they, formed their group, formed their band. And I remember being young and hearing Coldplay, and I think that that was their prime. Now that this situation has happened during a Coldplay concert, there hasn't been more people in the history of Coldplay that's been talking about Coldplay in a long time.
Yeah, but you're associated with that. You're associated with the Daltrey.
Hey, it is what it is. It is what it is.
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
I mean, listen, if it's going to drive up ticket sales, I mean, I guarantee their next concert is probably sold out. If it already wasn't, I guarantee people are going to be clamoring for tickets now. Coldplay is as big as it's ever been since you were in high school.
Look, look, if you're trying to hang out with your professional side piece, Coldplay is the band for you, my friend. The minute I thought of that, are you a Seinfeld guy?
Yes, I wasn't growing up, but I have been in the last year. I've watched probably every episode.
I thought of Costanza. Said, should I not have done that? Was that wrong? If anybody would have said that sort of thing was frowned upon, I mean, sort of what I thought there, the inter-office relationship.
Yeah, no good, no good.
I listened to the audio of it as well, and it was very funny. The Coldplay guy was like, when they started hiding, he was like, well, they're either having an affair or they're just really shy. And
he said something on stage?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know because
he
that.
Pointed them out, and that's why the camera went on them.
Oh. And it stayed there.
And he ducked, and she was just all flustered. And that's what the guy said. Oh, they're either having an affair, or they're just really shy. And everybody started laughing. But then you find out that's not his wife. Yeah. So
nobody's that shy.
Man.
Nobody's that shy.
Man. 50-minute mark on a fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. I mean, to have the stones to even like go to a concert to do such a thing and to think that you wouldn't be recognized just in general is insane.
I know.
Insane. Like that's abuse of like power. Like, oh yeah, like I'm invincible. That's probably the mindset. It's like I'm invincible and nobody's gonna see me, nobody's gonna say anything. And then you just boom, right there on the Jumbotron.
Yeah. Not good. You know what he looks like? Pen holderness.
Pen holderness. Is
that? That's who I thought it was at first.
Pen holderness.
You knew who Pen holderness
no.
is?
No.
The Holderness family? They did the Christmas jammies.
Oh, my God.
They were on, what was it? The Great Race? The Big Race? Yes. Something like that?
Yes, and yes.
My kids watch their YouTube videos. Tremendously annoying. But that's who I thought it was. I'm like... Oh, that's weird. No, wait, no, he's some tech company CEO.
I mean, the ramifications of it, I mean, it's funny, but at the same time, it's like, you know, it's not that funny, but, you know, you put yourself in this situation, Mr. Byron.
I don't have any sympathy. Don't cheat
on
your wife.
Yeah, I don't have sympathy at all. I mean,
don't be a dirtbag.
He's gonna lose a lot of money.
Who cares?
Which I'm sure that he makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, just absolute dirtbag in public. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Insane.
Who knows what your wife is doing at home, but you're sick. And I saw the statement, whether it's real or not, turn my stomach.
Yes.
He's like, I ask for your privacy in this time of reflection or something. Like, this, shut up.
Yeah. Like, you really think you're going to
get a Coldplay concert cheating on your wife.
You like, really think you're
going to
lose
privacy? A family member. Nobody's diseased. Right. You were just unfaithful to your wife. Shut up.
Do you like Coldplay?
No.
Did you ever like Coldplay?
No.
Why?
It's just not my bag. I don't know.
Kaz, you said that they're a staple, right? Is that what you said earlier?
No, you said they were a staple.
No, I didn't say they were a staple. I said that they had their peak in like the late 90s, and they've really kind of fallen off.
I didn't use that term, but yes, I was making that argument. Yeah, they've been around for a while. They've made a lot of great music. I really like them. And yeah, I mean, they've been writing music even still. Like, they were doing stuff through the late 2010s, early 2020s. So, yeah.
Cool. What is astronomer, by the way?
I don't know. I thought he was actually like a astronomer. I was like,
that's
oh,
good.
Man, this guy, wow. This is, he's going to space. Stuff like that. Then I was like, oh, wait, it's a tech company. I think it's a tech company. I don't know.
I don't know what it does. I don't care what it does. I'm not going to use it.
Oh, people are wild. And then yesterday we talked about the Annabelle doll. Did you see that?
No, what's that? Annabelle?
Have you ever seen the movie Annabelle?
No.
With the possessed doll?
No.
Well, there's a real doll, and a guy that was touring made the decision to take the doll out of its like little, like I guess, cage, if you will.
Okay.
So this doll's been around since 1968, and there's a lot of bad stuff that happens, catastrophes that happens around this doll, and they made a movie about it. So this guy who's, you know, wanted to tour with the doll so he could showcase it ends up dying a couple days ago. And this doll
is
possessed.
Catching up to speed as you talk, Doran.
This doll's possessed.
Well, that's freaky.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't understand why people have to mess with that stuff.
Like, I know.
Like, it's obviously has done bad things before. Why do you think that you're safe? You're not, clearly. It's very odd to me that people want to go messing around with stuff they shouldn't be messing around with. Right, Callis?
I'm with you.
Like you, whenever you're ghost hunting.
I didn't mess with spirits, though. We wanted to see if there were spirits there, and I believe there were.
You did mess with spirits. Didn't you read something that opened up a realm of spirits?
No. I was told that was the story. That's why I didn't do it. I was just in the room with the pages. I didn't actually read the pages out loud. I didn't even look at the words.
So somebody is touring? What kind of tour is this?
I don't know. I didn't really go that deep into it. I just thought it was insane that they were even close to the doll. And somebody that's a paranormal investigator for 25 years messaged me yesterday on Instagram, said that they got close to the doll. They saw, like, went into the building, and they had to stay a room away. And the closer that he got to the doll, the sicker he felt.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like a real thing.
All right. So I've come up with two things that I'm never going to do in my life. Yeah. Cheat on my wife. Yeah. Actually, three. Yep. Cheat on my wife, go to a Coldplay concert, and screw with the paranormal doll.
Yeah, that's a good decision. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 79, low of 68 with some rain.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.